Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field train and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alex, where are you?
Todd, I'm in Federation Square. And I've got a couple of young guys here, really nice young guys. The one you're going to be speaking to today is Geordie. I reckon he's a true Aussie bloke, by the looks of it. He's a chippy. He's age 20. And he's an agnostic now. He's brought up Catholic. Doesn't reckon anything happens to you when you die. And he's a good person, according to him.
And just so in case you don't know, when the reason that Alex says, and he's a good person, is because that is the question that we always like to begin every witness encounter with. And Ray, the reason is...
Well, Jesus did it. He said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. He reproved a man's understanding of good in the Gospel of Mark. Because humanity has a wrong understanding of what good is. Ask any non-Christian what good is, and they'll say, well, I'm good. There's good as when you do this or do that. But when the Bible speaks of good, it's speaking of moral perfection and thought, word, and deed. And none of us are good. And God's going to judge us by the standard of his goodness, by perfection, by holiness, by righteousness on the day of judgment. So it's essential that someone gets a right understanding of God's standard of righteousness.
Because until somebody recognizes their sin, they are not ready to be saved. They can't be emotionaled into it. They can't raise their hand into it, walk down the aisle into it. It's way more profound than that. It's understanding, whoa, that's what I'm like in God's sight? Oh, no. And then they repent. They turn from their sins and they put their trust in the Savior because they recognize their need. So let's go fishing. You got Geordie there. And all right, Alex, if you'd be kind enough to pass the telly, that'd be great.
Okay, here's Geordie.
Right.
How you going, Ryan?
How you doing?
Oh, I see.
Geordie, good to talk to you. So you're a chippy?
Yeah, mate.
You like doing that?
Oh, it's work, isn't it?
Well, when you stand back and you look at a building, do you get a good feeling, or you just think, I'd like to be doing something else?
Oh, you get a good feeling when you finish it off.
Yeah, when you finish. Not so good when you're starting, when you're laying a foundation. I know that feeling right at this moment. So, Geordie, you've had a crack Catholic background?
Yes, that's true.
Could you tell me the difference between being a Catholic and being a Christian? Do you think there's a difference?
Actually, I don't think there's much of a difference. I think there's just two different religions that believe in the same thing.
You sure?
Yeah.
So what do you think of Catholicism? Do you like being a Catholic?
Not really. It's no different than being Church of England or Christian or anything else, really.
So were you just brought up in a Catholic home and you were made to go to church as a kid and it was kind of boring and dull and you left it when things got more exciting?
Yeah, pretty much. I was born into it and that's how it was. I didn't choose what I wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience, kind of. But my parents didn't make me be anything. They just let me go my own way. So give me some thoughts on your life's philosophies. What do you think happens after someone dies?
I believe that's the end of your time. You've been chosen to go, and, you know, if you're lucky enough, maybe you'll be brought back. But other than that, you know, someone else is brought into the earth.
So who's knocking people off? Is it God?
Maybe. It might be God. It might be Satan. It might be anyone.
That's interesting. Have you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, I did. I went to a Catholic school for 15 years, so I've read the Bible a few times, and, you know, some of it makes sense, but if you've read someone else's Bible for a different religion, you know, that makes sense as well.
Yeah. So if you've read the Bible, you'll know that Jesus said you've got to be born again to enter heaven. Did you read that bit?
I've read that bit, but in different Bibles there's a different line and a different story.
Yeah, this is what it says. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll not enter heaven. That's kind of a bit of a paraphrase, but in all the Bibles, that's actually what it says. He said it three times in John chapter 3. He says, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Except a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what do you think it means to be born again?
Well, maybe everyone's life's just a pathway to, like, heaven, hell, and stuff, and if you've that up, maybe you're born again. And if you f***ed that one up, you've given it a third chance. Everyone deserves a third chance, don't they?
Third or second chance?
Well, you might have f***ed your second up, so...
You have to watch your language. You have to watch your language on this program. So, Geordie...
You might have...
messed it up. So, how are you doing in your life? Are you messing up? Do you think you're a good person or a bad person?
No, I believe I'm a good person.
So, have you read in the Bible? Obviously, you've read it, where the Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked.
Yep.
Would you consider your own heart to be deceitfully wicked?
No.
Okay, let me ask a few questions, then I'll come back to that question to see if your heart is deceitfully wicked. Okay, here's a few questions for you. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A white liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Nothing that I haven't returned.
So you have stolen. So what do you call someone who steals?
I was a borrower. I returned it.
What did you steal?
Could have been a deck of cards. It could have been a bike. It could have been anything. I've returned everything I've stolen.
This is quite a few things. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's where you take God's holy name and used as a cuss word to express disgust. It's very serious in God's sight. In fact, the Old Testament demands the death sentence for blasphemy. And listen to this one, Geordie. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Okay, so listen to this. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. Now, here's a big if for you. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think he'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Nirvana.
There's actually no such thing as nirvana. If you die in your sins, the Bible says this, all liars have their part in the lake of fire. So...
Who decided that?
God, our Creator. And he's
God
perfect.
God decided that.
And yeah, and he seems...
So in the early 70s, nirvana was a thing. But now heaven and hell are only things, and nirvana isn't. So no. Who decided that?
Well, God has always said there's a heaven and a hell, and what we believe doesn't matter. There's a day of justice, and listen to this, Geordie. God's seen your thought life. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him we have to do. And he's seen everything you've done in darkness. He's seen every deed you've ever committed, and he sees your motives. He sees every time you lust, and every time you sin, the Bible says you're storing up wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment.
So is God a pervert, or is he just a God?
He's the creator of all things. There's no unrighteousness in him.
But who decided that God is the creator?
Well, no one decided. It just is. That's why God says, I am.
It just is.
Yeah, God is.
It just is.
That's it. Now, does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell forever?
I don't give a f***. I'm only on earth for a certain time.
Well, what say you're going to die tonight? I'd hate you to go to hell. That's why I'm talking to you. I care about where you spend eternity, Geordie. I want you to see yourself in truth that you've sinned against God and you desperately need a Saviour. God doesn't want you to end up in hell.
But the thing is, we all have our time and we all have a time on earth.
Yeah, and God knows your time and he doesn't want you to end up in hell. He wants to forgive your sins. You know what God did for us?
Then did God help September 11th?
No, of course not. Well, he may have. I don't know. You mean, could he have
exactly,
stopped?
You don't know.
Could he have stopped evil? Is that what you're saying?
Well, God created like a healthy environment, and he created evil.
Yeah, but listen to this, Geordie. God could also stop you from your lying and stealing and your lust, etc. But he doesn't, because he doesn't want to judge you yet. He doesn't want to stop
As
evil
I've
at
said,
this
I've
present.
Never, I've never stole. I've borrowed.
Yeah. Okay. So, Geordie, do you know what God did for us so he wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something wonderful for you.
Really?
Do you know what he did?
You know when you're sacrificed himself.
That's right. God became a person and suffered and died on the cross, taking the punishment for the sin of the world. That's how much God cares about you. He paid your fine in his life's blood so God could dismiss your case. He can forgive every sin you've ever committed. Because of his suffering, death, and resurrection upon your repentance and faith in Jesus, God can forgive you and grant you everlasting life. That's how much God cares about you. He's your creator.
Does he care that much? Does he seriously care that much?
Oh, yes. He's pleading to you through me.
You seriously look at yourself and think he cares that much?
Oh, yes. It's no greater love that a man has than to lay his life down for his friends.
What about in Australia, when the Aboriginals ruled Australia... And the English, British people came over and attacked them and killed them to take their land.
That's
and what
evil.
About the African Americans that the white people came over and attacked them and took their land as well? Did he care about that?
Geordie, you'll be pleased to know that they will answer for their sins to God on the Day of Judgment, as you will if you die in your sin. But you can be forgiven. Don't you worry about them. Worry about yourself and where you're going to spend eternity. Give some serious thought to what we're talking about. Please pray about it. Listen to your conscience. Remember your sins that you thought no one has seen. And realize you're in big trouble and you need God's mercy. Hey, thanks so much for talking to me. Okay?
Oh, good one.
Thanks, Geordie. Appreciate it.
You're a champ, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Huh. Was that a genuine compliment he just paid you there, Ray?
I really don't like to think about it.
Like to put the best construction on that. Oh, boy. Isn't it interesting how somebody who has no worries when they're confronted with the law suddenly has worries and, boy, a little bit of venom going on there. Hey, did you just hear the gospel for the first time, too? You will be judged. There is a God. He knows your thoughts, but there is a Savior if you will repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Please don't delay. Please, today is the day of salvation. Call on Him. You will be saved. This is
Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas, you know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas too, gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources. For free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad looking kid. Now seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually. And the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second-century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's check in with Forbes. Hey, Forbes.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great.
Hey, good. Very good. I'm very good. Today, we're down at the Adelaide Railway Station. And I just met a guy named Sam. He's age 24. And the only problem is he just ran away from me and got into a car.
I was wondering why you were stammering.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm kind of baffled.
All right, so what are the odds that there's somebody else there that you could pass the telephone to that we could chat with?
There are good odds. Because I mentioned I'm in the Adelaide Railway Station, there should be several people over here. So what I'll do, maybe I'll just go up to them and tell them that we're on live radio and see what happens.
Let's give it a go. This ought to be interesting.
Okay, we've got about 12 or so people, so I'll do a random pick.
All right.
I'm just crossing out Sam's name.
How are you? I'm on live radio. Would somebody like to talk on live radio today? He would. Okay, what's your name, buddy?
Look at that.
Lachlan, how old are you?
Atta boy, Forbes.
15. And what belief are you? Are you an atheist? You're a Christian? You are... He hasn't thought of it. All right, so you ready to talk? All right, here we go.
Wow,
ready, Todd?
Well done, dude. Way to go.
Here we go.
Let's have a chat.
Hello?
Hey, Lachlan, thank you for stepping out like this and coming on the radio. My name's Ray. I really appreciate you talking to us. Hey, Lachlan, tell me, what do you think happens when someone dies? What do you think happens? Where do they go? Any idea?
I have no clue. I would love to believe in reincarnation, but not until I die myself, I won't know what happens afterwards.
How can you be so sure that you can never know?
Oh, because... I don't know. I'd love to come back as like a lion or a tiger.
You would?
Oh my!
Yeah.
Would you like to be a male lion, huh? Rather than a lioness?
I don't know. A female lion would be pretty good.
They have to go out and get the food and bring it back to the male.
I guess the male lions get to laze around all day.
They just lay around. They roar, and all the females get impressed. Then he eats his food, and then they eat afterwards. So I think that would be good. Go for the lion if you're going to come back. So you think there could be reincarnation? Who's in charge of all this, giving out the bodies to those folks that die?
Oh, I have no idea.
Do you think it's God?
That's what gets me thinking that there might not be reincarnation, because I don't know who actually would.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really work when you start thinking about it. Do you think God exists?
Yeah.
So how would you know there's a God? I mean, what evidence is there?
I'm not sure about that, but I just... Like, so many beliefs in it, because it's been passed down in history, and there's still the same stories going on now. It's just hard to not believe.
Yeah, you know, creation is a good sign there's a creator. I mean, you can't have a creation without a creator. You can't have a building without a builder. You can't have a painting without a painter. And when you look around this creation, it's kind of incredible, isn't it, that every day the sun rises and there's a blue sky and there's seasons come around every year and there's apple trees and banana trees and apricots and peaches and... You've got marvelous eyes that are more complex than any camera lens that man has ever created, like 137 million light-sensitive cells in each of your eyes. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, so creation tells us there's a creator. So do you think there's a heaven and a hell?
That's hard. It's on and off. Like, sometimes I believe and sometimes I don't. Like, it's just really... confusing, like there being two whole other places in the world apart from Earth.
Yeah. Well, let's surmise there is a heaven. Do you think you're good enough to go there?
Yeah, I reckon I'm good enough to go to heaven.
Okay, let's give you a little test. It's a four-question test. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
Sorry, what did you say?
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah, like little things from my mom and stuff, like...
Stole from your mother? So what do you call someone who steals... what do you call someone who steals things, Lachlan?
What?
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Accidentally, yeah, I have. Mm,
that's called blasphemy, where you take God's name and don't give it the due honor and use it as a cuss word to express disgust. It's very serious in a sight. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
So listen to this, Lachlan. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. We've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. There's another six there. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Oh, I reckon I haven't done too much bad stuff. I reckon I
lying,
still have a chance.
Thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. Blasphemy is so serious
in
the Bible.
Bad cases, is it? I can do something to stop from going to hell and burning.
Do you know what you're doing?
What am I? What?
You're justifying yourself. You've been caught, and you're trying to cover your tracks. God sees lying as very, very serious. Theft, doesn't matter the value of that which you steal, is a non-issue. Blasphemy is very serious, and adultery of the heart is very serious. Have you ever hated someone?
Yeah, I have.
And the Bible says,
I don't know if I could call it hate, but
Bible says whoever hates his brother is a murderer. See, God's standard is so much higher than ours. He's perfect. So when he looks upon us, he sees us from a righteous standard that's absolute perfection. And believe me, and God's seen your secret sins. You know the things you've done that you thought nobody saw? God saw them. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom you have to give an account. So you'd be guilty on the Day of Judgment. So do you think you'd go to heaven or hell?
Well, if I'm guilty of all that, I hope I don't go to hell.
Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, you said you think a little bit about heaven and hell. Hell makes sense because if God is good, he's going to punish murderers. He's going to punish rapists. And his place of punishment is called hell, but he's so good, he's going to punish thieves and liars and blasphemers and adulterers. And if you have even thought about a woman sexually, God considers that as being the actual deed because he sees your thought life. So does it concern that if you died today, you'd go to hell forever?
Oh, I hope I don't.
Yeah, but obviously does concern you. Do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Have you any idea?
Confess?
No, confess. This is what God did. God became a person 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was completely different than you and I in the sense that he had never sinned. He was perfect. Right from the moment he was born, he didn't have sin in his blood. And then when he gave his life on the cross, he was paying the fine for the law that you and I had broken. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus stepped in and paid your fine in his life's blood. You know the Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God actually, 2,000 years ago, paid for your sins on the cross, rose from the dead and defeated the grave, and now what God commands you to do is to repent and trust in Jesus. That is to turn from your sins and put your faith in the Savior. The moment you do that, God says he'll remit your sins. That means he'll forgive them. He will justify you, that is, make it as though you'd never sinned. He'll make you righteous. He'll cleanse you so that when you stand before him on the Day of Judgment, you are clean, you're forgiven, meaning that he can commute your death sentence and grant you the gift of everlasting life. Does that make sense, Lachlan?
Yeah, I actually understood that.
Lachlan, I've got a friend here. His name's Todd.
Hey, Lachlan, how do you do?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, you're 15 years old, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard what that fellow has said before?
No.
No, first time about hearing about that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what the Bible is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me what it is.
From what I know, what it is, it's a book about, a story about, it's all about God.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It's, isn't it, the most, it's, the holiest book in the world.
Yeah, and it's the best-selling book of all time, and it's the book that God inspired. That's right. Yeah. So inside of that book, it tells the story about how God created the world, and about how we, as human beings, have lived our lives by breaking his laws and by sinning against him, and how God has prepared a place for lawbreakers called hell. But it also tells the amazing story about a Savior named Jesus Christ, his Son, who died to take the punishment that we deserve. Now, the big thing is, Lachlan, is that you now understand how to receive this forgiveness. I'm going to tell you this really quick, so listen very carefully, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Forgiveness is available to you, Lachlan, but what you must do now is repent. It's a biblical word that means you must acknowledge your sins, confess your sins, apologize for your sins to God, and put your trust in Jesus Christ as if your life depended on it, because, young man, it does. And the Bible says that if you will do that, repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus, God will forgive you and grant you everlasting life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, would you please think about these things today?
I will.
All right. Hey, yeah. I'm very glad we ran into you. I don't think it was a mistake. I really don't think it was a mistake.
All right. Thanks,
Dave. Goodbye, Lachlan.
Goodbye.
Well, that's interesting. We were going to talk to Sam, who was on drugs and ran away, and instead walked up to a complete stranger named Lachlan, got the phone, and he got to hear the gospel for the first time. Would you please pray for Lachlan, please?
This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish, where are you?
I'm in the aisle of the World History aisle, European History aisle of Barnes & Noble, and I found, I think, our first ever rancher, really true rancher. His name's David. He owns how many cows?
A couple hundred cows.
He's a fourth-generation rancher. He lives on the ranch that he grew up in.
So this fellow is a rancher. Is he a church-going fellow?
Yeah. And, I asked him just a couple questions. Do you think you kept the Ten Commandments? Yes. And, just a few things, like if you were to die tonight, where'd you go? Heaven. And I don't know if I asked you that one. Did I, David?
Yeah.
I did, yeah. He said heaven based on his lifestyle. He's lived a pretty good lifestyle. And, I keep calling him David, but it's Dave. You can call him Dave. Basically he's kept the commandments, has lived a pretty good lifestyle, but you're a Christian.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a Christian.
All right, let's give it a go. And this is David the Rancher. Let's have
That's
at it, shall
right.
we?
Okay.
All right.
Dave, you're live on the air. Here you are.
Here we go.
Hello.
Dude, what's up? Good to have you on the program, David.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you.
So you're a rancher and you're in Barnes & Noble. What aisle are you in?
Oh, I'm here in the history aisle, actually.
So what's a rancher doing in the history aisle?
Oh, it was kind of interesting. I found out some family history just within the last 2 weeks that took my family history back to 60 A.D.
60?
I can go name by name from my family history back to 60 A.D.
I can go further back than that.
Well, that's good.
I can go back to Adam.
Name by name?
No, not name by name, but I know I do go back to Adam. Hey, thanks. I appreciate you being on the program, Dave.
Absolutely.
Tell me, what do you think happens after someone dies? Give me your thoughts on it.
Well, I certainly believe there's an afterlife and a judgment.
Yeah. And a judgment?
Certainly.
If I were to say to you, how do I get to heaven, what would you say to me?
I'd say follow the teaching of the Bible.
And what's that? I mean, that's a big book.
Oh, well, absolutely, it is a big book.
Well, let me just be specific with you.
Okay.
I'm standing in a street. There's a stampede of your cattle, and they run me over. And I'm lying there bleeding to death, and I got 3 minutes. And I look up at you and say, Dave, they were your cattle. Oh, what should I do to go to heaven?
Cows.
I'm dying.
Uh-huh.
What would you say to me?
Well, I guess I hope you've lived a good life. I would encourage you to ask for forgiveness from Jesus.
Can we just stop there a minute? If I've lived a good life, why would I need to ask for forgiveness?
Well, I think we all make some mistakes.
So if I just ask for forgiveness, I'll go to heaven.
I don't know if it's quite that simple. I certainly believe that Jesus Christ saves who he chooses. I believe there's some things in the Bible that we should follow. if a person gets to the end and maybe hasn't followed all that, if you truly and sincerely ask for forgiveness, I guess that's his decision.
So, Dave, your name is written in heaven for sure? You're going to heaven?
I feel very confident, yes, sir.
Now, if you could, in one sentence, and there's a reason why I'm asking this, in one sentence, can you tell me why you're so confident?
Well, I believe I'm forgiven. I'm a born-again Christian and try very hard to live by the pattern that's set forth in the Bible.
So there was a time in your life where you acknowledged that you'd sinned against God, you'd violated the commandments, and you repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone to save you. Is that what you're telling me?
9 days after my 19th birthday, yes, sir.
Okay. When did you last read your Bible?
Probably Sunday morning before church.
So you've gone 5 days without reading the Bible?
Yes, I've been away from home for a while.
When did you last feed your stomach?
A few hours ago.
Hang on, you've been away from home. How come you're feeding your stomach but not feeding your soul?
Hey, this one's going good here. Oh, well, I understand. I mean, I don't think you have to read the Bible 3 times a day to know what it says. I've read every word of the Bible, most of it more than once.
Okay.
And I certainly believe in continuing to read and study and grow.
Okay, let's see how good. Let's see how much you know the scriptures.
Okay.
Do you think you're morally a good person?
Yeah, I believe so. There's a lot of things I could do better, and
okay.
I try to.
Mark 10, verse 17, Jesus said, "There's none good but God."
Yes, that's correct.
So do you think you morally are a good person?
Not to the extent that God is, but I certainly make an effort to be a good person.
So what you're saying is that your sins are forgiven, and out of gratitude to God for the cross, you're living a good life.
That's close to accurate.
Okay. You know what helped me work the whole thing out was just looking at the seventh commandment, Dave. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. When did you last lust after a woman?
Well, that's not what the seventh commandment says. You know, if you put the seventh commandment together with some of the scripture in the New Testament, you can certainly come up with that. And if you were honest, the last time I saw a woman and lust after her was, I would say probably today I saw someone that, at least to some degree, would lust after. It's hard for a man not to.
Okay.
But I think you cut that off really quick. If you're a Christian, you see something, you may see something that, you know, attracts your attention. But, you know, if you're a dedicated and disciplined Christian, you certainly turn away as quickly as possible and turn your thoughts elsewhere.
So I missed what you said before about it, about the seventh commandment. Matthew 5:27-28, Jesus said, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery, which is the seventh commandment.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So yeah. It is there that if you lust after a woman, you commit adultery in God's eyes. That's how high God's standards are. And that's what showed me that I desperately needed God's forgiveness, that my heart was not good, and that the scripture is right when it says the heart is deceitfully wicked. My heart isn't good, it's deceitfully wicked. I have to agree with Scripture. That's why I need a Savior. That's why I need to trust in Jesus. And the reason I read the Bible daily is because the Scriptures say, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates in the law of God both day and night. And Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And what will happen is if you don't read God's word daily, you'll find that your heart will stray into sin. You'll find you'll begin to lust after women and do things that are inappropriate within your own life, even as a professing Christian. And Jesus warned on the day of judgment, many would say to him, Lord, Lord, we did many wonderful things in your name. And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That word iniquity is a direct reference to the Ten Commandments. It means lawlessness. That is where we say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but we lust after women, we tell little fibs and white lies, and we take little things that belong to other people. But God says that lying lips are an abomination to him, that if you steal one thing, you're a thief. If you lust, you commit adultery. So on the day of judgment, those petty crimes that we think we stray into are actually lying and stealing and committing adultery, and many will be cast out of heaven into hell. That's why it's important to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. And if we're not, we need to make our calling and election sure. Does that make sense?
I think you make some sense. I think you're probably going a little bit overboard with what it actually takes. I think a person can be a good Christian, and you can try really hard. I think you need to pray daily, ask forgiveness daily, and I think nonstop you need to fight against sin.
Where am I taking it too far?
But I think you're failing to acknowledge that at some point you are going to fail on a daily basis to some degree.
That's why you need to feed on the Word daily, and the Bible says God's Word will wash you daily. It's essential that you esteem God's Word more than your necessary food. He's honored His Word above His name.
I've read the Bible, front to back, and I won't claim that I understand everything that's said to perfection, but I know of people that read a whole lot more than I do that obviously don't live as close to the Christian life as I do. I mean, I see these people, and not to be judgmental, but some things are just very obvious.
You think they're hypocrites?
Oh, I think the world is full of hypocrites, but I think the world is also full of people who just maybe aren't as strong as they should be, and I think that gets all of us. We should all be strong. We should all strive to be stronger.
Absolutely. Do you share your faith?
God himself.
Absolutely. Do you share your faith? Do you ever share the gospel with others?
Oh, absolutely.
And what do you? If I was dying, what would you tell me?
Well, I would encourage you to ask for forgiveness, and and Jesus himself said that whoever believed and be baptized has repented, who's heard, and has then continued to live in the faith, that those people would enter the kingdom of heaven. I would hope that at some point in your past you've been baptized. I've hoped you've made a confession of faith. On a deathbed, people talk about deathbed repentance. I think that's getting very dangerous.
Absolutely.
I don't say that God won't forgive people, but I think if that's what you're counting on, you're living very, very dangerously.
What would you say to me if, okay, Dave, I'm going to repent, trust in Jesus, and I'll read the Bible once a month?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's okay?
Well, I think to come into the realm of Christianity, of course, I think you need to be baptized.
Yeah.
So when you add that to the other four things you list, I think that brings you into the realm. Now, how you stay there, comes from a lot of things. It comes from how hard you work at it, is your lifestyle.
I got a question. Hey, Dave, I've been listening to your conversation. We've just about got to wrap this up now. What denomination are you?
I'm non-denominational. I go to an independent Christian church. I'm a deacon there, and myself and one other gentleman, we share the preaching duties at our church.
Uh-huh. If I don't get baptized, am I not a Christian?
I believe that baptism is necessary.
For salvation?
Yes, I believe that.
All righty. Do it. Thank you very much. Hey, Dave, appreciate the time very much.
All right, thank you.
See ya. All righty. There we got onto it. That's called work righteousness. That's legalism. If you have to do anything but be saved by God's grace, that's work righteousness. Now, what denomination? Who knows? But it's got leanings toward legalism. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not baptism, by grace through faith alone.
This is Wretched Radio.
Glad you could be here today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. And grateful that you listen. Grateful that you send us your wretched stories, like this one. Hello, Wretched. I've recently discovered you guys. Oh, a newbie. I can't stop watching Todd. My wife now watches the Wretched TV vids. I'm so encouraged to see the Wednesday Witness vids. Awesome, unashamed, and truthful. What a great ministry. My faith is stronger and my resolve to be a better witness and to be emboldened to share what Jesus has done for me. Your site is a treasure of useful knowledge to help further the kingdom. Thanks. We truly do love hearing your stories, and he's right. Wretched.org is a treasure trove. Check it out at, oddly enough, wretched.org. If you would like to share your wretched story with us, that's easy to do. Email idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. By the way, if you'd like to help make more wretched stories possible, that's easy too. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms, and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
Important dates in Christian history. 1727. A spiritual awakening at Herrnhut, Germany, launches the Moravian Brethren as the forerunner of modern Protestant missionary movements. This 300-member group sent missionaries to Asia, Africa, North and South America, and the Arctic. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish!
Hi!
Hey, kiddo, where are you?
I'm at a Barnes & Noble with a family friend that flew all the way out from California just to be with the family out here. And so he's been at Bible studies, all kinds of different things. Now, he's a Catholic. Carries his rosary. You carry your rosary in your in your pocket and things. Is it kind of like a good luck charm or
just whenever I need to pray, whenever I feel like praying, I'll just pray the rosary once in a while, and it'll make me feel good. You know, I'm with God all the time, and I know I have God now because I've been going to this church for about a year, and
we'll get into that. His name's David. He goes to Catholic Church all by himself on his own. He bought a ticket to fly all the way out here all alone by himself. He's a senior in high school. And so he's wanting to talk about spiritual things.
Okay, wait, hold on. Just quickly, Trish. Go to your church?
He actually went to just a Bible study out here. We do like family Bible studies and things of that nature. And
so you know this fellow?
No, he's actually just a cousin's friend. You know, I'm married.
Okay, but got it.
I'm married to a Mexican, so we've got lots of family.
Yeah, you could be Italian too, for that matter.
I'm Italian, and the weird thing is I don't have a lot of family. I'm an only child with no cousins, which is bizarre. But
okay, so you know who this fellow is? He's a young man. He's just confused about stuff, and it sounds like he's just trying to get things figured out. Bottom line.
Bottom line.
All right, terrific. And his name is David. He's 19. He's a teenager.
That's right.
You ready to go, Ray?
Yeah.
All right, Trish, let's have at it with David. Are you ready to go, Ray?
David, you're on the air. Here you are. Live on the air.
Hello?
David, thank you for coming on our program. My name's Ray.
Hello.
I'm pleased to meet you. David, I'm not a Catholic. I'm what's commonly called a Protestant. I don't carry a rosary. How would I get to heaven? If I ask you that question, what would you say to me?
I'm sorry, I didn't really hear you.
How would I get to heaven? I'm not a Catholic. What would you say to me? How do I get to heaven?
You know what? A lot has to do with the belief. I believe in God a lot, and a lot of it has to do with your works also. I like to go around sometimes and spread the word. I'm trying to get my family closer to God, and I'm not sure how we will be able to get to heaven. I can't say that I'm going to go to heaven because only God can judge me, and He will say if I can go to heaven or not.
So you've got a last-minute thing coming up. You're just going to stand before God on Judgment Day, and at that point of time, God's going to say to you, David, you're going to heaven, or David, you're going to be damned in hell for eternity. You don't know which one it is?
Well, really, I'm not sure because I'm not going to lie. I haven't been such a perfect child, but my last year, I've been trying my best to go back to get close to Christ and get close to God and everything.
So, David, if you could find out where you were going in eternity, would you want to find out?
I would love to find out.
Well, we can do that on this program.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
How's that?
Well, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Uh-huh.
How many times a day do you look in the mirror? That's a personal question. It could be embarrassing, but how many times do you think each day you look in a mirror?
Probably like about 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5. When you first get up, you look in and you get shocked, and then you clean up, and then you just check up every now and then.
Yeah.
To see how you're doing. Okay. Well, do you realize that God has given us a mirror so we can see ourselves in truth?
Yeah, I realize that.
Well, do you know what the mirror is?
Not really.
Well, it's the Ten Commandments. The Bible speaks of looking into the mirror of God's perfect law. It says, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. So you can look into God's mirror and see yourself in truth and know whether you're going to go to heaven or going to hell. And if you're going to go to hell, then it gives you a chance to do something about it, which is sensible to do something about it, huh? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's what we're going to do. You said you've done some bad things in the you know, in your youth, and now you're trying to clean things up and you're praying the rosary and you're trying to do your best.
Yeah.
Let's see if we see if your best is enough, okay? Let's look at some of the commandments. Are you familiar with the seventh of the Ten Commandments?
With the seventh of the Ten Commandments? Not really. I'm still trying to study my commandments.
Okay, this is the seventh. You shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery?
No, not yet.
Listen to what Jesus said. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I have.
So, you have committed adultery in your heart, in God's eyes. Okay, that's the seventh. Let's go to the third. The third says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word?
As a cuss word?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I have.
Okay, it's a very serious sin, and it's called blasphemy when you use God's name in vain or use it as a cuss word. So you've broken the third. Let's go to the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. That means that God should be first in your life and that you're to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yes.
Have you, in your life, always loved God and put him first and loved him? You've broken the first commandment. What about stealing? Have you ever stolen anything? That's the eighth commandment.
Actually, I've never stolen anything.
Okay, let's go to the ninth. You shall not lie. Have you ever told a lie in your life?
Yes, I have.
So what do you call someone who tells a lie?
A liar.
Okay, so you're a self-admitted liar. Let's go back to the stealing one. And let me ask you again. God is your witness. In your whole life, have you ever stolen something, even if it's small, irrespective of its value? Have you taken anything that's belonged to somebody else?
You know what? Maybe I would have, but
okay. What do you call someone who steals? What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Okay. So listen to this, David. By your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart, and you failed to even put God first, and He gave you life. So here's a big if for you. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think I'd be guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
I think I'd go to hell, but there's still also forgiveness.
Well, let's just leave that for a minute and just look at what you said, because you're right. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, no blasphemer will inherit God's kingdom. So you are in big trouble. In fact, the Bible says God's wrath abides upon you. And if your conscience is doing its duty, it'll be saying to you, you've sinned against God, you've sinned against God, and that's why you're trying to justify yourself or cover your tracks by doing things. But the Bible says there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. There's only one thing that can save us from hell? Do you know what that is?
What's that?
It's God's grace. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
We can only be saved by God's grace. And this is why. If you could understand right now that you're a guilty criminal before God, think of yourself in a court of law. If you've committed serious, serious crimes, very serious. I mean, the judge says there is a $500,000 fine. This is so serious what you've done. And you say, Judge, I know I'm guilty, but I want to tell you, I'm giving money to the Red Cross. I polished your car on the way in. I'm trying to live a good life. The judge is going to say, what's that got to do with your crime? You've committed a terrible crime. You must be punished. So a criminal telling the judge that he's been doing good things won't wash away his crimes. That's in civil court. And it's the same in God's courtroom. Nothing we can do can wash away our sins. In fact, if we try and offer God anything, it's an abomination to him. He sees it as bribery. He says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So there's nothing you can offer God to forgive your sins. The only way you can be forgiven is through this. 2,000 years ago, God became a man. God was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. God became a man, Jesus of Nazareth, and this perfect, sinless man gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. The Bible says Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So when Jesus was on the cross, suffering for our sins, he was paying the fine in his life's blood so God could dismiss your case. You broke God's law, Jesus paid your fine in full. And now because of his death and resurrection, God can forgive you. He can justify you. He can make you right with himself because of what Jesus did. Let's go back to the courtroom. You've got a $500,000 fine. You say, Judge, I'm guilty. And the judge says, I know you're guilty, but I feel sorry for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay that fine myself. And the judge pays $500,000 of his own money to the courts. And then he turns to you and he says, you're free to go. Your fine is paid. That's what God did for you, David, so you could be forgiven, so your conscience wouldn't accuse you any longer, so that your name could be written in heaven, so that all your sins could be washed away and you could have confidence before God. So what do you got to do? You got to repent and trust in Jesus. That's all you have to do. Turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus like you trust a parachute. You don't just believe in it, but you put your faith in it. That's what you must do. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Todd, would you like to talk to Dave?
Hey, David. You're trying to figure things out. What you just heard is the best news you could possibly hear.
Yeah, it is one of the...
I mean, it sounds like you're living under a burden of guilt. You're trying to get your conscience cleansed. The only way is by humbling yourself, thrusting yourself at the feet of God and begging for his mercy, and he will forgive you. It's a promise, and your conscience will be cleansed, okay?
All right.
All right, man. Please think about these things today, all right?
Oh, trust me, I will.
Until next time. Go serve your king.